This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, we'll get to the Astros here in a second. There's a lot of you texting in still. What a great text topic. Movies that your teacher showed you in class just to kind of kill time if they were hungover back in the day.
Yeah, and this, what were the more risque ones?
Yeah.
Because I remember during the break, the one that we watched was Romeo and Juliet, and that version of Romeo and Juliet, there was brief nudity, I remember.
Brief nippage, yes.
Yeah,
yeah,
and
yeah.
And we felt, as high school students, you really felt like you were getting away with something.
Oh, yeah. Maybe some bare butt. Yeah.
Yeah. You also feel like, well, this is what mature adults would do.
This is Shakespearean. It's art. Yes. It's art.
Yes.
The genesis of this was our former digital guru here, Garrett Heinrich, was listening to the show. I gave Seth a lot of leeway in a guess at a Pender poll earlier. He was within 9%, so I gave him a ding. And I said, well, I'm just in a good mood. It's a Friday. I'm an easy teacher. I'm an easy grader. Garrett took it further and said, I was the teacher who would just show movies on Friday because I went out on Thursday night.
Yeah.
And while true, it does hurt to hear, but Seth said, hey, send in your movies that teachers played for you where they were clearly just like killing time.
Yeah. Some of you were clearly lying when you said that you watched Porky's in high school.
Which is funny. I don't mind those. Yeah. Send those bits, but it's not wrong answers only. I do want some actual ones.
There's some that we weren't quite sure if they were lying or not. Like an economics teacher showed Wolf of Wall Street.
Yes.
Which does make sense. It does make sense to show that.
Okay, but we have someone here contesting that particular movie saying no way they showed Wolf of Wall Street, too much nudity, naked Margot Robbie, and drug use. Not that it's a bad thing, the texter says.
Yeah, you could see why they would show it, except there's no way just
because. You could see why not.
Is that a long one? Is that like a 3-hour movie?
It might be, yeah.
Yeah, you can only get away with showing movies for so many consecutive days in class.
Yeah, yeah.
But you're right, yeah, there's way more scandalous stuff in there. It's not just like one little scene that the teacher could explain to the school board. It's the whole damn thing.
Now, this is an interesting one. I had an economics teacher in high school that we got to watch Wall Street at the end of the school year. Not Wolf of Wall Street. But Wall Street, the original Michael Douglas and Charlie Sheen movie took place in like 1987. I would submit, especially the older we get, where the decades you and I grew up in are probably actually part of history books now.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's a perfect movie. If you're in a history class where you're on a unit about the 80s, that is the quintessential 80s movie, in my opinion. I don't mean 80s movie like cheeseball stuff like Revenge of the Nerds and 16 Candles. I mean like a time capsule of what the mid-late 80s was like.
Well, just the greed is good speech alone.
Yes.
That's a good entry into a long discussion about free markets and competitive destruction and all that stuff. So I don't think it had any like extremely scandalous scenes in it, right? It
was more about
the financial crimes more so than
the financial crimes. I mean, the financial crimes. I can't remember if there was drug use in the movie or not. There was certainly drug use in the 80s. I can tell you that. There was no nudity in Wall Street.
What my dad was doing?
There was no nudity. The only person that would have gotten naked in that movie would have been Daryl Hannah. And I don't think she got naked in that movie, if I remember correctly.
Is she dead now?
No, I don't think so. Why?
Who died with John F. Kennedy Jr.? Who was that?
Oh, I don't know. I'm not sure.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll look it up during there. Someone will text in, I'm sure. And text in the right answer, please, okay? No wrong answers of who died in the plane crash with John F. Kennedy Jr. I'm excited to get down to West Palm Beach next week to see the Astros. MLB.com had an article, one prospect to watch for each MLB team. I'm like, oh, I'm clicking this. So I know which one Seth and I can walk over to with our fedoras and our notepads and our radar guns and act like scouts. Who was in the plane? I can tell you're about to. Did you just look it up?
I was going to hold on to it until appropriate moment. Carolyn Bessette.
Gotcha. So. Okay, gotcha. So one MLB prospect for each team. And MLB.com says for the Astros, it's Jacob Melton, the outfielder, former, I believe, second-round pick. Did some good things at Sugar Land last year. Hits for power. You know, he's got all the tools, things like that. However, right now, at least as of a couple days ago, according to Joe Espada, no Jacob Melton right now.
Jacob actually has been, you know, for the last 2 days, kind of a mild little soreness on his lower half, like his back. So we want to make sure that we get him 100% before we send him out there on the field. You know, he's moving around, he's doing some stuff in the weight room, but, you know, we don't want him just to go out there and start going, you know, 100%. We just want to make sure that we can get the back 100% before we send him on games and stuff.
I'm very anxious to see him, Seth, just because of the condition of the outfield right now.
Right.
The depth chart wise, there should be nothing off the table for the outfield for the Astros right now.
Right. Yeah. And it's second base. I mean, Luis Guillorme and Zach Short. And there's multiple guys on minor league deals competing for that, along with Dubon to play second base. Altuve's been, for the things that the public can see and the writers can see, he's been exclusively left field.
Yeah.
And Espada says that he's doing work at second base elsewhere, you know, before and after, whatever. But they're giving him every opportunity to get comfortable out
there. Your idea of us watching the games, like, actually out amongst the people, I think I like that. I think that's getting closer, like, visually to some of the things that we're out there to watch. You know what
I
mean?
No, and 100%, based on our Super Bowl experience, the company really likes the social media side of it, too.
Yeah, yeah.
And so just actually getting out and showing, you know, our experience being Astros fans, not wannabe sports writers up in a press box. I think it's more important that we get out. We just get out and have the fans.
Here's Sean eating a hot dog in the press box. Here's Seth eating a hot dog in the press box. You're
feel like if we don't gain 15 pounds this next week, then we haven't done our job.
Oh, properly. Like out amongst the people. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Bryce Matthews is a name I would throw in there, too, in your second base potpourri. Yeah. That's a big one. I mean, you know, Bryce Matthews, he did some good things at the minor league level. The big thing with him is hitting off-speed pitching, which last I checked you need to do if you're going to stick in the major leagues. He strikes out a lot. But I'm very anxious to see him. Anxious to see Cam Smith, who looks like a Greek god in all the pictures that I see of him. Man, he's chiseled.
They were really excited about him in Chicago. And a lot of people were skeptical that the Chicago would let him go. So I think, just as it is with Bryce Matthews, though, I don't want to get too far. We've gone from this position where we used to worry about whether, you know, what are we going to do with all these minor leaguers that should be in the majors now, to where now, like last season especially, guys are showing up way ahead of schedule.
Well,
and I'm trying not to get too eager about any of the young guys.
And it's a GM who's not afraid to bring guys up. Like Dana Brown, like, he's steeped in the scouting and the minor league stuff and finding young players. So he's open about that. Like, he is not afraid to call guys up. And they did it last year. To your point, they did it out of necessity last year. Like, when DiCenzo is up there playing, and he's in the mix too, you know.
But if you're a guy, there is something to, like, okay, you know, let him see, get a taste of it. It's kind of, you know, like when all of a sudden you get elevated up to a higher level in a video game. All right, you react to it a little bit differently. It starts prepping you for it.
Yep.
So I just don't want to depend on them psychologically right now.
This is going to be, for you and I going to this thing, you know, we didn't go last year to spring training. We went 2 years ago. So we went in 2023, which was, that was the spring training coming off of the second World Series championship.
Mm-hmm.
Dusty Baker is the manager, not Joe Espada. The big thing that we were watching there was Jose Abreu. Big new shiny toy that you just invested money in. This is going to feel like, for you and I, this is going to feel like a much bigger gap than 2 years between spring trainings that we've gone to.
Right, yeah.
It's a very, very different baseball team.
One of the heated discussions that offseason was Chaz McCormick or Jake Meyers.
Yeah.
And here we are 2 years later, and I'm like, hey!
Both!
How about both?
How about both?
Well, they much both... worse versions than what we were thinking of at the time.
That's a funny thing. Like, here we are 2 years later. How about both? Well, wow. So they both must have just been succeeding off of the charts. No. No, Chaz had his worst season last year.
Yeah, okay. The other big story 2 years ago when we were there was that the pitch clock was being implemented. So we got to see the pitch clock for the first time.
That's right.
Which was fun.
Dude, this
and
is
this this time around, we're gonna we might see the automated strike zone the first time around.
Yep, yep. Are you?
They're only doing it in select games, and I haven't looked into which if any of the ones.
Is there a way to find out? There's got to be a way to find out. Which
yeah, it's
games.
Spillane.
Oh yeah, Spillane. Yeah, that is the way to find out. Spol. No, and by the way, we should mention. I keep talking like it's just you and I going there. Spillane is going with us too, and Adam does an excellent job. When he's on site covering the team, he got an interview with Dana Brown a couple years ago when we were there, like a sit down.
He learns
with
us
him.
Up good too. Yeah,
yeah. No, Adam does a great job. So I got to mention, I got to make sure I'm mentioning that too. That Spillane's coming with us. He'll jump on with us on our show. We're gonna jump on all the other shows here on the station. So you're gonna get an immersive experience next week.
And now because we're doing the show on YouTube also and Twitch. So now we'll do it from the Airbnb.
Right.
But this time you guys get to actually kind of enter into the Airbnb with us.
Yeah, man. Immersive. Absolutely.
And everything that's going on, you know?
Everything.
The various people coming in and out, you know, man. Like, what is that bag that somebody delivered to Sean? What the hell is that?
What is
What's going on?
What is that Ziploc bag? So, yeah, man, it's going to be different. Like, just the vibe, like that was a world, that was a defending World Series champion that made big moves in the offseason that we were covering 2 years ago. This is a team that's kind of coming in like licking its wounds a little. Like they got swept by the Tigers in the postseason, and they're viewed by baseball as a lesser version of themselves than they were. They were not viewed that way 2 years ago. I think people thought, yeah, like Verlander was leaving, but you had plenty of pitching, and now you're adding Jose Abreu at first base. Wow, like this is really that's a window opener right there.
I'm going to tell you another thing that was going on in 2023 was just like this time around, the NFL Combine was in gear. And in 2023, we were wondering about Bryce Young and CJ Stroud.
We were.
And, yeah.
Who
would be the CJ Stroud? I can remember the first time I heard ball placement specialist, I believe, was in CJ Stroud's combine interview.
Yeah.
And I remember being very excited about that, both from a prospect's perspective, but also I thought it was brilliant. I thought it was brilliant self-promotion. Whoever told him to start calling himself a ball placement specialist, that was brilliant.
Yes. The one thing I remember from that, from the combine, from when you and I were in West Palm Beach, it's really weird. Sometimes there's certain topics. And I can remember like where I was sitting when we talked about these things. Like in my mind, I'm able to take, it's like a snapshot, and I'm able to take myself back. And I remember sitting at that kitchen table that we had in the Airbnb in West Palm Beach. And it was after CJ Stroud had done his session with the media, which was, that was absolutely one we had circled among all the guys there to watch.
Yeah.
And he had made the comment, he was asked about guys that he looked up to as a quarterback.
That's,
and he
right.
said Joe Burrow and Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So that was nice. That gave us some stuff to sink our teeth
into.
Well,
Mulligetta was on his management team and all that. Because he has the one agent for actually
for marketing
is, and then another for negotiating his deals.
Yeah, Brian Burney is the marketing guy and Mulligetta is the contract guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Oh no! But CJ's actual management team, his agency team, was split up between anyway.
Oh well, his NIL stuff was with somebody else.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But boy, when he mentioned Deshaun Watson, boy, that got some people cooking back here. And they aren't taking him. He looks up to Deshaun Watson.
What do you remember about where you were sitting? Was there something special about the
configuration? No. My brain works in weird ways. Like when I hear certain sound bites, I remember where I was driving when I heard certain things.
Oh yeah. No, we've talked about that before. I just thought maybe like in particular, because obviously we were sitting at that table in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Just off in the dinette area.
Yes.
At our Airbnb.
No,
I thought maybe
anytime that topic would get brought up, I would be in my mind, I'm sitting at that dining room table. You know what I mean?
Like it's
So, and by the way, we should mention Combine next week, Tuesday for D'Amico, 12:15. Wednesday for Nick Caserio, 12:15 also, which is 1:15 West Palm Beach time, Seth. So you and I will be sitting out there in the outfield with our radar guns and our fedoras and our notebooks scouting these Astros and our iPhones out watching the press conferences of Nick Caserio and D'Amico Ryans.
Oh, yeah. I got to have some of our high school baseball coach listeners or dads tell me about the last time they sent me a bunch of the like the iPhone apps you can use for pitch speed and everything.
No, we're going old school. Big gun. You're the big radar gun.
I don't want a big
text.
I don't want to pay for a big gun.
What do Seth and I need to bring or wear to make us look like old timey baseball scouts at the at West Palm
Beach?
We
need to look like some of these South Floridians that we see at spring training, which is I need to be wearing Bermuda shorts.
Socks pulled up.
Yeah,
you already do the socks pulled up.
I do the socks pulled up. It's more comfortable for me.
Yeah,
I feel like it helps my circulation. I'll just go ahead and wear the hose. I'm gonna wear those circulation hoses.
Who did I see that I texted you? Oh, it was either Martellus Bennett or Michael Bennett. I can't remember which one. Who was working out in my building?
Yeah.
On the machine, on the treadmill in front of me, and they have their socks pulled up like you, and I snapped a picture, and I'm like, vindication. Yeah.
That's what the kids do these days.
That's right, man.
I don't care about middle-aged men making fun of me for my socks pulled up. I don't want the high school kids making fun of me for wearing my no-shows.
Sammy, socks pulled up.
It's a big shock to a lot of guys our age when they realize, like, no, the no-show socks are actually way out now. Not that I care. But don't be trying to act like you're a fashionista and criticize my sock choice when you're dead wrong. Don't pretend you're a fashionista. The worst kind of fashionista, which is an athletic gear fashionista, and you're dead wrong on it.
The text is just a flood of old movies and Toradol takes right now. Good job, Seth.
What's the best Toradol take? Are they offering it?
No, there's people weighing in with what the negative effects of Toradol are.
Oh, no, they're very careful about it in the NFL. Yeah. You get it once a week, and it's an injection, not a pill.
Yeah. All right, Payne and Pendergast.
They'll lay off anybody trying to scare me about Toradol. It's not like a street drug that your kids are going to get into, okay?
That's what it sounds like.
Are they worried that I was like going to be like, oh, I'm going to turn some kid into a Toradol junkie?
I don't know. Probably. Why else would you bring
just
it up?
Get over yourself, you clowns.
All right.
Meanwhile, they've got open bottles of turpentine in their pantry. Got to watch out for the Toradol. The Toradol pushers are out. I know. Who's that? Oh, call the cops. I don't know who that person is walking down the street. They probably got Toradol. Yeah.
NFL expert makes a big suggestion to your Houston Texans as to who they should go get. Do we agree with this? We will have that for you coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Some of the suggestions of what you and I should wear to the spring training games are really good. If you missed it earlier, Seth and I are going to attack these spring training games with more than just a little press box gusto. We're going to be out amongst the people.
Yeah, I have no interest in pretending that I'm a baseball reporter or something. I'm going to be out like what I'd love to do with the Texans. I just can't do it because I've got too many. I've got post game and all that.
Yeah.
I just want to be out in the stands, walking around, partaking of the spring training experience.
Yes, the spring training experience. But I took it a step further and said maybe we can be a couple of old timey scouts while we're out there.
Yeah.
So how do we pull off the look? Old polyester snap shorts.
Ooh.
That seems like more of a football thing, I think.
Yeah, the coaching shorts, though, yeah.
The two snaps right
above. And I'll have a clipboard tucked into the back of it.
The back. Someone says, just dress like John McClane. He's a reporter, not a scout. Although he does dress a little scout, like baseball scouty.
He's dressing for comfort.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. So I do like the coach shorts.
Yep.
All right.
Now someone goes to the other end and says,
"That's bike brand."
Bike
right?
brand. That
that's
is.
Why it's confusing.
Yeah,
they're not like your Tour de France shorts. They're bike shorts.
Literally, that's the manufacturer. The company's name is Bike.
Yeah.
A suit, but walking in with your jacket over your shoulder held by one finger.
Oh. Yeah, we gotta perpetually look like we just saw something that intrigues us.
Yes,
like we gotta constantly act like we're bored, and yet that every 10 minutes we're like, oh, I think I just stumbled onto Jose yeah. Altuve.
Right. To where other people are looking at us, go, oh, he knows something over there.
Every now and then, if God help us, if there's a payphone there anywhere, every now and then you still see him. We gotta go run into the payphone, throwing in quarters to call back to the home office.
Stick the phone in between your shoulder. Hold the phone with your shoulder to your ear, and have a notebook with a pen as you're scratching things down.
Mickey, I gotta tell you, we gotta spend $5,000 on this guy. Best money you've ever spent, Mickey.
Mickey is the perfect name of somebody you should be calling with that news. That's incredible. Yeah.
I need to see you next to a goddamn it. Oh, excuse my language. I'm sorry. I'm talking like a baseball scout.
You
now.
Are, I know.
If I don't have a picture of you on a payphone, like acting like you're reading a report from your notepad into
oh my
it
God,
by
yes.
the end of this, we're going to find a payphone in South Florida and probably score some drugs.
We got so, or at least see some residue on the actual phone itself. Oh my God. A couple more and then we'll hit the player the Texans need to pick up. Spit it out, Sean. Y'all need flip up sunglasses just for effect.
Yes. Yes. All right. Oh, yes.
Dude, this is going to be a big day on Amazon for me.
You know what I should wear for maximum cringiness? The Texans did a really nice thing, too. A lot of former Texans players, the legends, as they like to call us.
Yeah.
They sent out the new uniforms, but with our name and number on them.
That's awesome.
So I've got a badass new, brand new Texans authentic game jersey with my name and number on it. And I'm like, okay, well, when am I ever going to wear this? Spring training, that's where. Is that Seth Payne?
Why, yes.
As a matter of fact, it is.
You got to at least bring it and keep the option open.
Can I tell you my cringiest story ever?
Yes.
About the Astros?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, it was the 4th of July. Oh, no, I can't. I'll tell this in the next.
Tell it in the next segment. Let's pay off on the tease here. Yeah, that's a good tease. Seth has a cringy Astros story for the next segment.
Yeah.
Last one. Y'all need binoculars, a gun, a radar gun, a fedora, and a cigar. I think that's like the big four right there. Fedora, cigar, radar gun, binoculars.
I'm not exactly sure where we'll smoke that cigar, but yeah.
Even
well,
just
out on the road.
Chewing on it, yeah.
That's true. We'll chew on a cigar.
Chew on it, yeah. All right, Texans. Wide receiver's a big deal. I respect Mina Kimes' opinion on things. Here is her opinion. You can tell at the beginning of this that the player she's referring to is Stephon Diggs. So the question was about Diggs, because the very beginning of this cut, she says she's pro keeping Stephon Diggs, but she circles over to the player she really thinks they should go after.
Yes, they should try to bring him back if it's a reasonable price. I'd like to throw another name out there, though, who's not a free agent but a trade option, and that's Cooper Kupp, who I don't think it will cost him very much at all to trade for, and I don't think he's going to be particularly expensive at this point in his career. But my reason is this. The Texans last year needed physicality. They needed to be better in both run blocking and pass protection, frankly, but run blocking, and it was a team-wide issue. It wasn't just about the offensive line. They need skill players who can block. And you get an offensive coordinator from the Rams, Nick Cayley, who's taught tight ends. He's going to want to add that element to this offense, and I think Kupp would be a great chess piece to make this run game more physical and to make the passing game more diverse.
Okay, so the Cayley relationship is cited there. She was big on the run aspect of Cooper Kupp.
Right, yeah, and that's understandable, and that's not nothing at all. It's something people talk about but usually don't care about at all. But we need better blockers all over the field on offense. I think the Texans wide receivers, as currently constructed, have plenty of guys who are willing blockers.
Oh, yeah.
But they're just not the same as genuinely good blockers. But they are willing. But especially some of your smaller guys, like, they're only going to do so much. Yes, I think Cooper Kupp does bring that to the table. The biggest issue is, I mean, she brings up that it wouldn't take a lot to trade for him in the terms of compensation. But part of that is because his contract is bloated beyond belief, and that's the part that would have to be a big change. I think if Cooper Kupp is on this roster next year, I hope it's because they got him after the Rams release him and they get him in free agency on a very short-term deal, and it would make sense. But it's also, like any other aging guy who's been injured a lot, you can't let the name brand appeal cloud your judgment. This is not peak Cooper Kupp.
No, there's more moves to be had. Like, Cooper Kupp Cooper Kupp comes into the building. This ain't a Diggs pickup from last year. You know, when Diggs came in, like, Diggs was still a Pro Bowl level player who'd been healthy throughout his years in Buffalo. Like, availability, never a problem with Stephon Diggs. I know it became one here because he tore his ACL. Like, this can't be viewed, if they do go get Cooper Kupp, this can't be viewed as the same level of acquisition that Stephon Diggs was a year ago.
Right, right. And I fear that's where it's easy to fall into that trap, because Cooper Kupp in his prime was really, really good. He just hasn't been that guy since 2021. I mean, he got injured in 2022 where he was still playing really well, but he's had 737 yards in 2023, 710 yards last year. His yards per catch is way down from when he was at his peak. He's not the same guy he used to be. So it has to be a bargain veteran deal. Not a bargain basement necessarily, but something very reasonable.
Yeah.
And maybe a little bit of, like, maybe even where Cooper Kupp thinks that this is a good situation for him and he's willing to take a little bit less than some of the other teams that might be more desperate for him.
Yep. So we'll see. Yeah, I don't think the draft compensation, if they were to trade for him, I think Mina Kimes is on point there. Like, I don't think it's a second round pick like it was for Diggs. Like, every hypothetical you see with Cooper Kupp, it's more like a day three pick to get him. Because, as you point out, under his current contract, he's fairly expensive. That's
like $20 million.
Yeah,
you know?
He's got like a $7.5 million roster bonus coming soon, and then he's got a $12.5 million salary, if I recall. I don't know if that's what seems to stick in my
head. It's a $12.5 million salary and $7.5 million roster bonus.
There you go. All right, I recalled correctly. And so I'm guessing the Rams want to probably, if they're going to unload him, and they have openly talked about trading him. This isn't like he was with Nick Cayley. Let's go after him. Like, there has been open chatter about trading Cooper Kupp in Los Angeles. I don't know what the date is on that roster bonus, but I'm guessing they want to trade him before that hits. You know what I mean? Before they have to pay the $7.5 million. If they have to pay the $7.5 million, then it probably will cost more than like a fifth round pick to get him. You know what I mean? So yeah, I'm pro Cooper Kupp. I'm pro all these guys at the right price. Like, it's,
yeah, I'm not thirsty for Cooper Kupp.
Yeah.
I'm not, there's not, I don't have a, I don't have him up on my wall as one of the guys. He's not on my dream board, you know?
I'd rather Diggs.
Is that what they call those things?
A dream board.
You hear people in Hollywood talk about it. You put
vision
like
board,
your goals. A vision board. Thank you, Ben.
Vision board.
Thank
okay.
you, Ben.
Yeah. Well, I had
Ben,
no idea.
Ben's an aspiring actor.
He's our movie expert, too.
Yeah, he's in an improv group Tuesday
How
night.
How dare you?
That's good improv, Ben.
It was good, Ben, yeah. People saying you need to dress like John Lovett's character in A League of Their Own. I've never seen A League of Their Own. Ben's cracking up. All right, I got to Google this.
He has like a fedora with a little card that says press on the side.
It says press? Yeah. Okay, well, it wouldn't say press. It would say scout for us or something like that. Someone says y'all need to ketchup and mustard stained, ill-fitting polo shirts.
Yeah, ketchup and mustard stains.
Yeah.
That would be good.
Scouts are considered kind of sloppy, like stereotypically, right? The old-timey scouts?
The old stereotypical scout, yeah.
Make sure you have sunscreen on your nose.
Zinc oxide. Yes. And the flip-up sunglasses. That was a brilliant point by whoever texted that in. Oh, zinc oxide and the flip-up sunglasses. And Lovitz, if I remember, he had a mustache in A League of Their Own. There's not enough time for you and I to grow mustaches between now and...
No, not, I don't remember. Not good ones.
Could get fake ones.
Oh, yeah, we could do that for sure. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. All right, Seth has an awkward Astro story he's going to share in the next segment.
Oh, it was very awkward.
Yes.
Very awkward.
Yes, and the Rockets getting started back up again here pretty soon as well. Finally, it's been over a week since they played a game. What are we looking for down the stretch with the Rockets? Hey, top of the hour, take a mania. We have the reigning defending bad take artist, Angelo Cataldi, taking on three or four bad takes that I've culled together from this week. So we'll see if the champ, Angelo Cataldi, saying Andy Reid is a fraud, can get taken down by any of these takes that we've got in Take-A-Mania at the top of the hour. Got to remind you guys as well, it's winding down. Your chance to enter for our Slam Dunk in Vegas National Contest. Listen for an hour on the app each day to Sports Radio 610, the Odyssey app, that is. If you win, you and three friends are headed to Vegas. You're going to stay at Circa Resort and Casino, premium sports viewing destination. When Amy and I went there to Vegas a couple years ago, we walked there from where we were staying to go watch at Circa because their sports book is so amazing. And they've got the stadium swim, too, where you can watch and wager outside as well. It's really neat. Is all during the college basketball championship experience. For one lucky winner and three of their friends, an extra $20,000 in your pocket. Download the Odyssey app. Listen for an hour each day to Sports Radio 610, and you'll get your daily entry to the Slam Dunk in Vegas contest. Up next, Seth's awkward Astro story. Stay there.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, football,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Yep, Payne and Pendergast on our way to spring training next week. This will be our last show in studio here. For a while, we'll be there all next week, Monday through Friday, at West Palm Beach, covering the Astros spring training. Very much looking forward to it. Very much looking forward to getting down there for some spring ball. Exclusive Furniture and Academy, thank you, thank you, thank you for helping send us there. Seth, you had an awkward Astros story that you were going to tell.
Yeah, it was. It wasn't Astros necessarily, but it involved Roger Clemens a year before he became an Astro. And there's a kind of a Texans connection to it. So it was 4th of July, 2003.
Okay.
I was visiting my friend Rich Sheeran, who lives in New Jersey, and he and his dad were going to take my sister and I to a Red Sox-Yankees game. And Clemens wasn't pitching that day, but Clemens obviously was with the Yankees at that time. And I was chatting about it. I knew about it a few weeks in advance, and I was talking to somebody with the Texans, just telling them what I was doing over summer vacation. I said, oh, I'm going to go to a Red Sox-Yankees game on the 4th of July. Kind of, it's going to be a pretty cool experience.
It's Americana, yeah. Right there, yeah.
And this person that worked for the Texans was like, you know, who's a huge Texans fan is Roger Clemens.
Mm,
and at that point, I don't even know if I knew that he was from Houston or anything, but yeah. This guy that worked for the Texans did. He's like, let me make a call because he might want to meet you. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. And I, you know, it's just like, I didn't think much of it. And he called me back and he's like, yeah, Roger Clemens would love to meet you. Just come down and meet this person from the Yankees. You got to go ask for this person from the Yankees before the game. So we get there on the 4th of July. And I'm guessing, you know, I was at my nose tackle-ist at that point, probably 320 pounds or so, sweating my ass off, and kind of uncomfortable before the game even began.
Yeah.
But I go seek out this person from the Yankees that I called them on their cell phone or something, and the person on the other end sounds completely surprised and confused about what the hell I'm talking about. And I'm put in this position where I'm like, I play football for the Texans. We're a new football team. We're
that's true. They might not honestly might not have even known, because this was coming off of your first season. They
And I'm talking to a baseball person.
Oh,
and
my God.
It was a woman. It was a woman. She's like, okay, well, come meet me down by such and such section. So I go down, and there's this really nice young lady who had a clipboard and everything, and she's dressed up all nice and everything, and she's like, nice to meet you, Mr. Payne, blah, blah, blah. And I'm, by that point, I'm already feeling a little weird. And she's like, okay, we're just, can you just wait here for a minute? And I'm thinking, like, I've never met Clemens in my life before. And I also know, but I know that Clemens is a guy that's very strict about his pregame, and he wasn't pitching that day, but I think it was the day before he pitched.
It's,
and I'm just thinking, like,
dude,
I don't want to mess up Roger Clemens' routine.
Yeah, it's not a one-day-a-week thing with these guys.
Yeah, you know? If he's out, if his routine is that he spends 20 minutes shagging flies and then does this or that. And then, like, so the woman is super nice, but I can tell she still doesn't know what the hell anybody's talking about. And she's I'm starting to get the vibe that she's treating me like I'm an imposter of some sort.
Yeah.
Or like trying to talk my way onto the field.
Why wouldn't she if she didn't know you were supposed to be there?
I know.
You know?
So she's talking on her cell phone and making these calls turned away from me where I can tell she's saying stuff like, well, I don't know. I mean, does Roger know about this? Do we, like, and I'm looking around and it ended up being like 30 minutes of me increasingly them growing more skeptical of me.
Yeah.
And you know, Sean, you know how I am. I'm not a guy to be like, I'm an NFL football player. What the hell are you talking about?
Dude, you want it out of there, I think, probably.
So I bailed. I was like, you know what? Hey, something came up. So I apologize. Hopefully I didn't screw anything up.
Bye.
And because it was getting to the point where they were almost going to just like, and I could tell that. However big a fan like Roger Clemens may have been, at some point they asked Roger Clemens and he didn't know what the hell they were talking
Probably
about.
Probably so, yeah.
And that was the point where I could hear it be like, well, Roger says he doesn't know. And I'm like, so now I'm already a distraction because they're asking Roger Clemens about this thing.
Dude.
And I bailed. I made up some bad excuse. And I felt, to this day, I cringe every time I think of it. But I did, I asked Roger about it when I saw him at an event like 10 years later.
Yeah.
And at the very least, he claims he had no memory
he
of it.
He didn't remember it. Okay, that's good.
He played in a million baseball games in his career. I'm guessing it was, he didn't think of a bit about
played
it.
Played a million baseball games and was a big enough star where there probably were guys that tried to pull what they thought you were trying to pull. You were reaching a point in that story probably where there was a better chance you were going to get taken into some security office than going to meet Roger Clemens, you know?
I think they were going to bring me in there, but in my mind I'm playing it out and it's going to be like, hi Roger, I'm Seth Payne and this is why you should be happy to meet me.
Right.
And it all started with some well-intentioned Texans employee who was just trying to set up something nice for something he thought was
Are you at liberty to tell me if you ever circled back with that particular Texans employee to give them the update on how things went?
They've been fired by the,
because of that. Seth Payne got him fired.
I got him fired. Yep. I walked into the office and I said, I'm Seth Payne, damn it.
I tell you what, that would have... I grew up a big Roger Clemens fan, right?
Yeah.
I was a teenager when he was winning Cy Youngs in Boston in the 80s.
Yeah.
And had I had an arrangement like that set up for me by somebody with as much kind of mystery around how this is all going to get executed, I would have been so stressed out going to the ballpark that day. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, cuz that would have been, like, at that time, would have been a dream for me to meet Roger Clemens. Are you kidding me?
No, and that was the same way I was. It was where I'm just, I'm just Seth Payne. This is Roger freaking Clemens.
Exactly.
And I felt like I was the fanboy, and it started to feel more and more like, man, I'm an annoyance.
Yeah.
Like, I am a weirdo that won't... I felt like I was being perceived like I was a guy who wasn't going to let up.
Yeah.
And it was like, that was the opposite of the case. I remember the employee now, actually. I don't want to say his name in case I'm misremembering actually who it was. But it was, he laughed about it and he apologized. Because it was just genuinely a bunch of crossed wires and mixed messages that screwed it all up.
I'd have gotten mad that he laughed about it. What's so funny? I was stressed out for an hour waiting for this guy. Oh, man. That's hilarious. The texts are still rolling in on the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line about spring training and what we should wear. We'll get to those. Rockets back in action tonight. 27 games left in the season. It feels like, hey, the halfway point because it's the All-Star break. They've only got 27 games left in the season. I believe sitting in fourth place right now because the Lakers lost to the Hornets the other night. I don't know the exact standings. They're in that bunch of teams that are in between 2 and 5 in the Western Conference. It's OKC. It's this next chunk of teams that the Rockets are part of, and then it's everybody else in the Western Conference. I heard, who was it? I think it was In the Loop yesterday. Asked this question. It's a good one. Like, who are down the stretch here? Who are the ones or one that have the most to prove down the stretch here for the Rockets?
I think the easy answer is Jalen Green.
Yeah.
And that would probably be the consensus choice. As it gets closer and closer to crunch time, can you come up in big moments, all of that? For me, this isn't probably the right answer for the way the question is phrased for the most to prove, but I guess the guy I'm most excited about and most eager to see is Jabari Smith Jr.
He's back tonight.
Yeah. So exactly what does all that look like? How are they working him in now that the other wings have done some good? Like, it's just that's the part that's a much bigger X factor than his name brand appeal that I'm excited for. I feel like he's proven plenty already, but now he's coming off of injury. What are we going to get out of him?
Well, and
between
he,
now and the playoffs.
Yeah, no, it's a good question, and I would say two things about that. One, he's one guy that legitimately his return comes with questions about the rotation itself, you know, because since he's been gone, they plugged Amen Thompson into the starting lineup, and he's playing 40 plus minutes a night. And I don't think you mess with Amen Thompson needs to be playing 40 minutes a night for this team, which means he should be in the starting lineup. So then it's okay. Well, do you bring Dylan Brooks off the bench? Is he equipped to do that? Dylan Brooks has had some really good games of late as well. So that's interesting to me. Jabari, for his part, when he was asked about it yesterday, because Ime Udoka has not, excuse me, given any indication as to whether Jabari is going to start or not. He was starting when he got hurt. Jabari doesn't care, at least according to his interview he did yesterday, whether he starts or comes off the bench, whatever. The other interesting thing is, and I don't have the stats in front of me, but the with and without Jabari Smith stats are pretty staggering when it comes to this team defensively.
Yeah.
With Jabari Smith, they are, you know, the chunk that he's there, they're an elite defensive team. Since he's been gone, this has not been nearly as good a team defensively.
Right, yeah, and that was one of the calling cards for the first part of the season. Way back when, in 2024, man, wow, what a defense.
Yes.
In 2025, they've been a below-average defense, particularly in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
So, not to put it all on one guy, but especially on defense, that one guy can make a huge difference as to how much pressure is on everybody else.
I would say one more, and this is like, most to prove. This is like a different kind of proof. Tari Eason, when he's on the floor for this team, I think is a level of difference maker like that as well. On the glass, defensively, offensively lately when he's been playing, he's had some really good games. Tari Eason staying healthy, like he can't stay healthy. Like they've had to load manage him and things like that. You get to the playoffs, you're going to need Tari Eason. You know, when you're going against good teams, 7-game series, you're going to need X factor guys like that. So that would probably be another one for me. Tari Eason.
This is I hope we see a version of the Rockets that just comes out with their hair on fire tonight.
That would be great.
That there was a matter of young guys, you know, playing deep into the season so far and all of the other things that come with it. The fatigue maybe started to get to them more than it should have, and that you just see a different version of them.
Yep. All right. Payne and Pendergast with you on a Friday. Hope you're having a great morning here. Take a Mania. We started doing this a couple of weeks ago. And we're treating this. We have a reigning defending champ in the bad take department. There are 1, 2, 3, looks like 4 challengers this week for Angelo Cataldi, formerly of WIP in Philadelphia. We'll play his bad take that's the reigning defending champ, and we'll play the contenders and decide if there's a new champion. Take a Mania is next.